I'm now joined on the line with award-winning playwright Alana Valentine. Alana, good morning.
Good morning, Tony.
As a playwright, what is your role?
What do you mean?
What do you sort of, throughout the construction of the play, you know, what is your role in the play? Where do you fit in?
Oh, okay, so I'm the one who thinks up the idea for the play in the first place.
The
so
mastermind?
That's your words.
Yep.
And so I decided that I wanted to go down to the National Library in the case of this play about Lindy Chamberlain Creighton and look in all the boxes that she donated of the letters. So I was the one who initiated the project. And then once I'm down there, I order the boxes, I open them up, have a look at them, and I look through as many as I can. There are 199 boxes.
Wow.
Which is quite a lot.
Yeah.
20,000 letters. From the public. And so I made my way through them. It took me about 3 months. I confess, didn't look through 199. I probably looked at about 60% of the collection, because what happens after a while, you start to see, you know, repeats and patterns.
Yeah.
So I collected all of those letters and then I typed them up.
Yep.
And then because those letters are actually the copyright of the person, even though they're 30 years old,
yeah.
I wrote to the people who had written the letters, and I tried to, you know, get their permission to use them in the play. What I haven't mentioned is before all of that, to even look in the boxes and then to write to the people who'd written letters to Lindy, I did have to get Lindy Chamberlain Creighton's permission to do all of that.
Right.
So it's a kind of a detective game, and then I type all of that up. I interviewed Lindy herself, and that forms a monologue in the play. And so my role basically is to do the research and type it all up and then create a drama that will last, in this case, just over 2 hours, and, you know, make sure that there's enough in there that's interesting, intriguing, entertaining, funny, and also moving.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of work. So, you know, in every sort of production that's taken out of real life situations, you know, based on true stories, was there much editing or changing of the story? Not necessarily the storyline, but rather how the story is depicted from what actually happened, in inverted commas, to the play itself?
Well, yes, and Tony, those inverted commas you mentioned are the most important things. People sort of think that with a true story, the truth is sort of out there and you just gather it in. But the fact is that you're actually shaping the version of the story completely, and that's why I say that the play is by me. It's my version of events. I mean, I'm very proud that all of the words in the play are actually Lindy Chamberlain Creighton's, and you know, she's a woman who's been spoken for so much that it's actually really exciting for me to have her words, and she said that this is the closest to her experience of anything that's ever been written about her. So and we laugh about that. I say, yeah, Lindy, that's because they're your words.
Yeah.
And she's really pleased with that. But look, the truth is exactly what you just said. I mean, there's a version, you can always do a different version of the play. I mean, even though they're letters based on the words of real people who wrote to her as well, so there's an authenticity to it. I've still chosen which ones to include and how to arrange them in the play.
Right. Sounds wonderful. Yeah, 100%. You know, you know, like you said, everything is so subjective and nothing is how it happened, you know?
No. I mean, there's basic facts, you know, that you have to follow. But really, beyond that, it's about how you want to, what you want to look at. And what I really wanted to look at was how the public saw her, you know, what strangers thought of her. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So with this whole story, like I said before, it's got quite a controversial topic. How did you include humour into your writings and into the whole play?
Oh, Tony, the most amazing thing is that Lindy Chamberlain Creighton herself is incredibly funny. I mean, people who've met her, she's got this really dark sense of humour. In fact, you know, in the play, she actually, some of the characters, there's like four actors and three of them play various characters all the way through of the different letter writers and people with opinions and all of that. And there's a section where they tell, you know, some of those awful dingo jokes that were going around in the 80s. Well, right at the end of them, Lindy tells the best joke of all, and the audience are sort of kind of appalled, but and also amused, because by then they've started to get to know her. I mean, she is the most amazingly generous and resilient woman. And for her, she would say, well, some of them were funny, you know, it's sort of unsettling. But her humour also comes from she's highly intelligent, and so she notices things about things. And I always think that great comedy often comes from, you know, observational humour. So some of the things she says are funny, but also, look, some of the letter writers, I mean, the children say the most hilarious things, like, oh, you know, I think you should only be in jail for 6 months, whether you're guilty or not, and stuff like that. Then there's some real, what I would call, Tony, like sort of, I call them the nutcases, but Lindy called them unusual.
nice way of putting it.
They were the religious sort of, there was a lot of religious people who thought that, you know, this was the second coming. He was being heralded by Azaria being taken at Ezrock. And, you know, some really, real nutty people in there. Yeah, and that's all in the play.
Oh, wow. Fair enough. Well, you know, you mentioned that you do have a lot of contact with Lindy Chamberlain. So was she looking over the production while you were doing? Was she saying, oh, that's correct, that's not correct? Or did she let you just take the reins of it all? How did that come about?
Yeah, no, she's not as controlling as that. In fact, what was funny was that she read the first draft and said, oh, yeah, that's right. I laughed once and then I didn't really cry or anything. And then when she saw it on stage on the opening night in Wollongong, I was too scared to sit next to her. So I got Simon Hinson, who's the artistic director of Merrigong, who they commissioned the play, to sit next to her. And he came out at interval and he said to me, she's laughing, she's crying, she's leaning over to her son Regan, who was there, and making comments. And she came out afterwards and really praised the play in the foyer. So, you know, she's been incredibly supportive of this. As I said to you, it's mostly her words, and she knows a lot of the collection. One of the things your listeners may be fascinated to hear is that she's arranged the letters. Like, everyone has its own manila folder, color-coded according to who in the family they were sent to. And then on the right-hand side of each letter, there's a little summary, a little yellow post-it note that summarizes the letters. So people say to me, has she actually read them all? I say, she's not just read them, she's kind of summarized them, and she knows them really well. So, you know, it's that relationship with the letters that I thought was what the play is really about. I mean, what has this been for her? Has it been a grieving process? Is this like a memorial? You all of those questions I ask in the play.
Definitely. Well, it definitely sounds like a very interesting play. Thank you for coming on the show, Alana.
Thank you so much, Tony.